today on Real Radio.
We're going to be talking about prayer this morning. In fact, the title of the message this morning is Answered Prayer Guaranteed. Doesn't that sound good? Boy, I want my prayers answered. You can have your prayers answered. Depends on how you pray and what you're praying for.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Answered Prayer Guaranteed, begins in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 with verses 1 through 5. The Apostle Paul wrote his second letter to the Thessalonian church to not only prepare them for Christ's return, but to call them to pray. Paul begins his farewell message to the Thessalonians by sharing the most important matters of his heart. His love and concern for the church is strong, and saying goodbye to those you love, well, that's difficult. So Paul chooses his final words to them carefully. He wants to make sure they understand how to carry on in their faith with confidence and perseverance. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that Paul's final message to the church is a reminder to pray so that they won't lose heart. They were also to be strong in the face of persecution by keeping close fellowship with other believers, and to watch out for false doctrines by staying in the Word of God. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
2 Thessalonians. We now enter chapter 3 this morning of 2 Thessalonians. And Paul says there, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ." Paul, in true military fashion, and I mention that because in the Greek language, he uses military terms. When he says, "we command you," it's a military term. It's what a general would announce to his troops. And so what Paul is doing, being the last chapter of this last epistle to the Thessalonians, he's really trying to sum up the things that he's been saying in these last two books, and he's trying to really drive it home. Think about this. You can relate to what Paul's doing here. Have you ever loved anyone? Have you ever had to separate yourself from that person that you love? Have you ever had to say goodbye? That's what Paul's doing. Paul loved this church, and he was saying goodbye to them, and you know how that is when you're saying goodbye to somebody that you love. You want to make sure that the last few things that they hear and that they remember in their mind are the very important things of your heart. You've talked about a lot of things in your time together, but when it comes down to the last few moments, you're saying things like, "stay close to Jesus," right? "Keep the faith. I love you. Don't forget that. Remember us." That's what Paul's doing. And all of us can relate to that if we've ever said goodbye to somebody that we love. That's what Paul is doing. But he had been telling them some very interesting things. In this farewell address of chapter 3, he was telling the church at Thessalonica to remember the difference between the rapture and the second coming. He was reminding them to wait for Jesus Christ, that his return was imminent. He told them that they need to be strong in the face of persecution. I think that exhortation is going to be a lot more applicable to us if we continue on in these days that we live in. He told them to watch out for imposters and false doctrine, people who parade themselves as knowing God or somehow have a new message from heaven. You know, a lot of people are against the Bible. It cracks me up. I'd like to find out why. I mean, I know why, but they might say, "well, you know, you can't believe in it." A lot of people saying that, they're absolute, with all due respect to you, fools, because they're just repeating something they've heard from somebody. Because the Bible is without error, cannot be scrutinized or attacked enough to the point where you can find something. In fact, the more you attack it, the more you seek to destroy the Bible, like Bertrand Russell and Voltaire, you wind up finding out that it's exactly true. It's scientifically correct, archaeologically accurate, and linguistically pure, historically authoritative. But he warns them to watch out for false doctrine. They'll come more and more in the last days, Jesus warned us. He also encouraged them to continue in the Word of God and to also maintain the fellowship of believers and with believers. But he exhorts them in our study this morning to pray. We're going to be talking about prayer this morning. In fact, the title of the message this morning is Answered Prayer Guaranteed. Doesn't that sound good? Boy, I want my prayers answered. You can have your prayers answered. Depends on how you pray and what you're praying for. And we're going to talk about that this morning, but we're going to use Paul's example. I've told you this story many times before. You're probably going to say, get a new one. But it's so good about prayer. So many of us come and we pray and we say, oh God, I know I'll confess a prayer that I've had for years. Lord, if you just give me a Suburban, I will. And whatever, pray harder, you know, evangelize more, whatever it is. Oh God. But the Bible tells us that there's things that we can pray for that we're trying to consume it to our own lust, you know? And we often pray like that. We need to be careful. And that story goes where that little boy, you've heard this before, that little guy, he wants that bicycle for Christmas. He's talking to his mom and dad, oh, I just want a new bike. And they couldn't afford a new bike. So they told him, listen, Junior, we can't afford the bike. But you know what? You pray and see what God would do about it, but we can't afford the bike. So that little guy kept praying and kept praying, and one day his mom picked him up from school, and they were driving home, and they drove by the market, and she said, you wait right here, I'm going to go into the store for a moment. And she goes into the store, and he's praying, oh God, I want a bike. I really want a bike. And just then and there, he sees the statue on the dashboard of the Virgin Mary holding baby Jesus. So he looks to the right, he looks to the left. Make sure nobody's looking, and he reaches over and he snaps that little icon right off the dash, breaks Mary off right at the ankles, puts Mary and Jesus into his lunch bag, curls up that lunch bag and holds it real tight, and he looks around and he says, God, if you ever want to see your son again, you'll get me a bike. And a lot of people pray like that. Oh, God, and we make deals with God. Oh, God, if you just do this, I'll do this. Or I'll do this if you do that. And we begin to barter with God. He won't do that. But Paul's going to show us how to pray this morning. I'm going to call your attention to some things as we go through this. But in verse 1, if you're taking notes, jot it down. He calls us to prayerfulness. Now, listen, everybody in this room has prayed or shall pray. Ha! Jack, I'm an atheist. You still pray. I guarantee you, when you're on that airliner and all the engines cut out, I promise you will not be atheistic. Billy Graham says he's never met an atheist, ever. There comes a point in time in every person's life when they call out to their God, their God. It may not be the God of heaven who can answer your prayer, but it could be what you've been trusting in all your life. That airplane can be going down right into the Atlantic and you can call out to your money. Your money won't do a thing. You can call out to your home or to your passion. You can call out, oh, mama, save me. Mama can't save you. But there will come a point in time in every person's life when they will cry out, and that is a prayer to something that they're cleaving unto. And you had better, listen, I don't care how old you are this morning, there's people in here 90, 95, 94 years of age. There's people in here this morning, there's a little, you know, 7-month-old in the back there, I would imagine, where at some point in time in our life, we will cry out to God. And you better be crying out to the one who can do something about it. You're not so tough. I'm not so tough. We need Him. And we need to have a life that is prayerful. But people, this morning, don't shut the curtains and close the door and think, well, you know what? Prayer's too big of a difficulty for me. You're misunderstanding what prayer is. Yes, it can be a very difficult battle. There's times when we have burdens on our hearts where God will drop a burden on our heart and we'll pray real hard about something and it's really a battle. And then there's times when we're just like last night, going up the mountain, looking back towards home, the incredible sunset. And I said, oh God, you're awesome in the car. Looking back over my shoulder, looking at that sunset, just saying, and I said out loud, audibly, by myself, I said, thank you, God. That is absolute prayer. He loves that stuff. It's thinking. Godward. We'll talk about that this morning. But we need to be prayerful. It says right here, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly or have free course and be glorified just as it is with you. First thing I want you to realize this morning is that he says, finally, brethren. Finally, brethren. I like Paul. It takes him a whole chapter to say goodbye, but he says, finally, brethren. I appreciate that. This word finally means now. I love this. Listen, now and forevermore from this moment on. Well, from this moment on, brethren, and forevermore. And he's wanting to leave something very strong in their hearts as a lasting impression. Paul is so full of care for them. He's careful about what he says. Not because there's something wrong with them, no, or with Paul, He's full of care for them. That's why he's careful to say the right things. Jesus gave us an example of this in John 16:12. Paul here says, finally, brethren, Jesus says in John 16:12, I still have many things to say to you, but you are unable to bear them right now. However, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. You may be a young person this morning and you don't know what's right or what's wrong. Maybe you haven't been instructed by your parents. Or maybe you've got some real life decisions. Is this the right one? Is this girl the right one? Is this guy the right one? Should I try this? Should I go to that school? Should I choose this course or this class? Listen, God wants to talk to you about it. It is so cool. Last Sunday night, were you at the park? Was that a great time? Did you go? If you didn't go, we couldn't tell. It was packed. We figured out that there are close to 3,000 people there last Sunday night in the park. And I got there late, but when I got there, it was a blast because when I was pulling into the parking lot, all these kids were jumping up and down and doing this dance thing. Maybe you were there, and I thought, well, this is weird. But then I saw how many of the kids were there. They didn't know Jesus, and how many of them came to know Jesus last Sunday. They found out that God doesn't live in some stained glass cathedral somewhere, and they're alone. But he was right there in that park there in Chino Hills. And they began to find out that they can actually know God, and God wants to love them and lead them and guide them. He's not some archaic, removed, gothic thing. Our youth today need God like never before, since I think the times of the Jesus movement in the 70s and 60s. And it was great to see young people, young adults, making decisions for Jesus Christ. And it all started for them with a prayer because God says, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will lead them to truth, will lead us to truth. And by the way, that prayer of Jesus' was answered. But look at this. It says, pray for us. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the Pope, Billy Graham, coming on TV and saying, listen, all the world, America, Rome, Minneapolis, Minnesota, pray for us. Pray for us. Does the apostle need prayer? He's an apostle. Do they need prayer? They need prayer. I need prayer. You need prayer. What's the matter? Well, I don't know. Maybe nothing or maybe everything. I need prayer. You need prayer. Don't think you don't. Jesus needed prayer. Remember, he told the disciples, can you guys stay awake a little bit tonight? And pray for me. I'm going to go a little bit further and talk to God. Will you guys pray for me? What did they do? They do what we did. They fell asleep. Paul the Apostle says, I need prayer. I don't care who you are. My goodness, have you become so arrogant or so self-centered that you don't need prayer? You need prayer. In fact, if that's your stance, you need prayer more than anybody. And isn't it a wonderful thing to find out that people are praying for you? Isn't it great to talk to somebody and they say, hey, can I pray for you about something? That's a great thing. Paul says, pray for us. This word prayer here is in the Greek present tense. It means pray, keep praying, don't stop praying. Pray always. It's exactly the meaning of 1 Thessalonians 5:17, which says, pray without ceasing. It means always be in prayer. But people, you know this, but it's good that you be reminded. You can be praying every moment of your hours that you're awake. Well, Jack, I have a computer job. It's very intense, and I understand that. You can be in prayer. As soon as you boot that computer up, say, Lord, I just give you my day, and okay, and you're working. You're in an attitude of prayer. God will be speaking to you, and it's wonderful. You can have a greater job than that. You can have a couple of toddlers. And if you do, you know that you are already praying. It's a communication line that's open. Constantly open. Isn't it amazing? We don't think anything that when we get on the internet or email from our offices, we can talk to somebody in real time in Helsinki or Stockholm or Sydney instantly, around the world, instantly in real time. And yet we find it so strange that we would talk to God in a moment's time. Or we think, is he listening? Oh yeah, he's listening. He really is. But we are to be praying constantly. We have that door open. Philippians 4:6. This is a great verse for all of us, but especially those of you who are connected to or plugged into Melanta or things like that. Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry or be anxious for nothing. That sounds easy. Well, here's how you beat it. In everything by prayer and supplication, that is going before God with petitions and pleadings, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Well, I don't talk to God about my own thing. I just go there for other people. Well, first of all, if you want to get your prayers answered for the other people, go to God with your concern first. Then pray for them. It's very important. Make known to God your request, Philippians 4:6. But doesn't God already know? Doesn't God already know what we're going to pray for? If he's so smart, doesn't he know? The answer to that is absolutely yes. Jesus says in Matthew 6, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the unbelievers do, as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many repetitious sayings. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask of them. So why pray? Prayer is not for God. When you say, Father, he doesn't go, oh, wow, he's talking to me. When we say, Father, he says, yes, I'm here. It's for us. Prayer is our blessing. We're not doing him a favor when we come to him and pray. When you're driving down the street and that train forgets to make the stop over here, you don't cry out to God because you want to bless him. You cry out to God because you want to bless him. Lord, spare me from this Amtrak. You see? And prayer is for us. God already knows all things. So why pray? Because prayer brings us in line with what God wants to do. When we begin to bow our knee and bow our heart to the Lord and we begin to pray, that time with God, he begins to massage our hearts and begins to move our hearts and brings us in line with his very will and his word. So we need to be praying for us. Prayer causes us, first of all, of course, to communicate with him, but it also increases our faith because God begins to move us in line with him and we begin to see things happen. Listen, prayer is to be faith-filled. That is, when we talk to God, we need to understand that the Lord is the one whom we're praying to. He is the object of our faith. Prayer is to not only be faith-filled, it is to be passionate. The Bible talks to us about having passionate prayers. That is to have a purpose to your prayer. You ever, some children, you say, well, you know, let's pray. Well, okay. And they pray the same thing. They don't know what they're saying. Pray the same thing. Lord, bless my mommy, bless my daddy, give us a good day. And then the next day, bless my mommy, bless my daddy, give me a good day. Well, they need to be nurtured and schooled and brought along to the point where you drop a new topic into their existence every day. Now you pray for mommy and daddy and for our day. Now pray for aunt, you know, that she needs help or something. and let their prayer life develop. Why? Why? Why does God have us to pray? Because isn't it strange? I wish I could let you into my heart and mind to show you things that have happened to me, especially on these last several outreaches to Russia, in this last year or so, where a prayer was offered up, and God, either in that moment or during that two-week period, answered radically. Where I stood back, trying to keep my cool, because I'm supposed to be a man of faith, I'm like, look what he did! You know, I'm going, praise the Lord. You know, of course, we prayed, didn't we? He's a great God. And I'm like, can you believe it? Can you believe this? Incredible things. Listen, I want to encourage you. When you pray, pray specific. When you talk on the phone to somebody, what do you say? How's your year been? How old are you? I'm 34. Hey, how old are you? I'm 4. How's your lifetime been? No, you say, how's it going today? What's happening? You know what? Last couple hours. You're specific. You know somebody, when you ask them something, how's it going? Fine. It kind of bugs you after a while. Not that they're doing fine. They got to be lying. You know, every time I talk to you, it's always fine. Get specific. When we talk to God, He wants us to be specific. And you want to know why? Because He wants to answer specifically. Why is that? Your faith is radically increased when that happens. Listen, start praying radical things. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, down at the end of that verse. Daniel 11, 32b says that those who know their God shall do great exploits. Pray specifically. Pray specific. God will answer, your faith will grow, and you'll be encouraged to pray more. Listen to this. Prayer must be faith-filled. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is God, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Pray to the Lord. Try it. Watch what happens. Also, as we mentioned, prayer is to be passionate or fervent. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 7, ask. The word in the Greek is ask, and keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Can you believe that? Listen, hear what it says. Ask and keep asking, it will be given to you. Really? That sounds pretty good. I saw that lotto sign along the 57 freeway, $13 million. I'm going to start asking. Watch out. 74%, I just read it, 74% of the people who have won lotteries in America wind up divorced, drugged, in psycho houses, or alcoholics or drug addicts. 74% of the lotto winners in America turn out to be total losers. Isn't that interesting? God loves you so much, He might get you $3 million because your heart can handle it and you'll support missionary ventures and churches or whatever, or do whatever, or feed the homeless. Fine, great, and dandy. God gets all the honor and praise, and He'll take care of you. But then there's some of us who would, you know, use it some other way. And God says, I love you so much, I'm not going to give it to you. You crazy guy, you'll hurt yourself. It's true, you know it's true. Jesus says, ask, keep on asking. Seek, keep on seeking. Knock, keep on knocking, and that door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and he who knocks it will be opened. That's a pretty awesome statement.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Answered Prayer Guaranteed. Thank you for listening. Our hope is that the Lord directs your heart into prayer, for He alone is faithful and stands guard over your life. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. The Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet? Think about it. Might be a great addition for all that you do with your smartphone or tablet every day of the week. Just go to your app store and get the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. And that's pretty much going to give you all the access you need to everything that is Real Radio. You'll get all sorts of video and audio, some great downloads. Go to your app store right now and get the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. And stay in touch with us. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.